for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is two of Norman Parrish's teaching, Tuesday evening, October 26, 1999, at the minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Let me just give you another case. There was in Guatemala City, there was a very famous spiritualist temple called Carislandia building, and very popular. You'd go drive by there at 4:35 in the morning, people are lining up. And they even sold food on the street to feed the ones that would come early to get in line. Sold flowers because they're, especially roses, white and red roses, had an important role to play in their rituals. And so I began to go by that place and began to curse it. Now, I didn't curse the people. I cursed the building. I cursed the cult. I did what Jesus did when he, you know, with the fig tree. And so months went by and nothing happened. I got, you know, kind of uptight, maybe upset. Then I went to Eastern Guatemala, hold an evangelistic campaign in the open air. And a lot of people showed up, and one night, a young man, about 17, 18, was saved. And he stayed around after the service, and he said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Well, why don't you come tomorrow?" So the next morning he came. I told him to fast. He gave me a little kind of an idea what the problem was. He began to do Rosicrucian teaching into spiritualism and everything at 17 or 18 years of age. So he came the next day, and the next day he said, "I'm in training. Top war warlock or sorcerer at Carislandia is training me to be his disciple and to be his successor." He showed me pictures with this man where he was laying hands on him and where he was consecrating him and inducting him into this cult. And so after he explained everything, he was from a broken home, his mother was a drunkard, his stepfather was a drunkard, and all this, it was a mess. But anyways, when I prayed for him, he just passed out, he fell on the floor, and the first demon that manifested said, "I'm Carisnanda," and the next one was Krisanda. They were Hindu demons. They came from India, up in Nepal, up in Tibet. This man called Jorge Ruano Valenzuela had been to India to study with the Ascended Masters up in northern India. He's got two sons that are medical doctors, and they both have Hindu names. And they mix medicine with witchcraft. Huh? And this man, and so I cast the demons out of this boy, and I did exactly the same thing. I said, "I send you back. You're going to bring confusion and destruction to that place." And I said, you know, within a few weeks, well, maybe a few months, I opened again the newspaper, and we got a page or two of obituaries where they buy space to announce the death of some prominent person. And there was obituary after obituary saying that Jorge Ruano Valenzuela had died the day before, this witch doctor. And you know what happened? He had a mess of children. He had children with five different women. And they all began to fight between themselves to see who was going to keep the property, this big complex. So they went to court. The judge closed it down, sealed it, and it was closed for two or three years while they fought it out in court to see who were the true heirs of this man. That was the end of the cult. Well, just about 4 months ago, I went by and I found this place open again. And I said, "Lord," I thought, you know, I'd been resurrected. And so I cursed it again, and then the next day I went by and cursed it again, and lo and behold, the third time I went by, they were unloading machinery. It's become a factory. Huh? It's no longer a witch center. It's a big auditorium, and I looked in, and there were all the machines, textile machines. They'd sold it. Somebody bought it. I hope the curses I pronounced won't affect the business now. Maybe I should take them back. I should cancel them. But brethren, that shows the effectiveness of deliverance. See, we're too passive. Here in America, the church is too passive. You've got bars in your neighborhood. What have you done to destroy them? Huh? I don't believe you have to go and pick an abortion clinic. You don't have to strike out against it. You don't have to have these protests go around with signs and make a fool of yourself and create a scandal. We got spiritual weapons that we can use powerfully, powerfully against all these gates of hell. I mean, we can destroy all the works of the devil through spiritual warfare. But do you know that spiritual warfare, I'm going to take just a minute because I don't think I'm going to be able to speak anymore during this car. I've got to leave Tuesday at noon for Mexico City. But in spiritual warfare, effective spiritual warfare is directly tied in with deliverance. And I think this whole spiritual warfare movement that's become popularized here in America misses the point many times. How many went to Colorado Springs a few weeks back for the big conference, the World Congress on Deliverance? I'd signed up, and about 3 days before I was going to catch the plane for Colorado Springs, the Lord stopped me. A red light turned on, I didn't go. Now, Frank Hammond was there. Bill Banks was there, and they sent me reports of what went on. But, you know, a lot of these people that are in spiritual warfare, they're not involved in deliverance. They don't want to be involved in deliverance. They only talk about strategic spiritual warfare and about what they call prayer walking and all these things and about spiritual mapping. And they're all newfangled ideas, you know. But anyways, but they don't want the sweat and the tears that come through personal deliverance. But you know, Jesus tied effective spiritual warfare directly in with deliverance. Remember when the 70 came back, Luke chapter 10, they said, Lord, verse 17, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. What did he say? I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. You know what our foolish theologians say? That Jesus had a vision of what took place thousands of years before in primeval history when Satan rebelled and was cast out of heaven. That has nothing to do with that. What he said, while you were out there teaching and ministering deliverance, people were being set free, something was happening up in the heavenlies. The powers of heaven were being shaken. And those spiritual cities and areas and countries were being cast down to the earth. That's what's happened in Guatemala. Guatemala is the most liberated country in Latin America. And it's all due to deliverance, coupled with spiritual warfare. But we take an aggressive attitude toward houses of prostitution and bars and all these things because we know that they are the gates of hell where people are being swallowed up and dragged down into the pit. For example, Almolonga, the town I mentioned, when I first went there, there was at least 40 bars. The whole town was alcoholic. People, when you went through there Friday night, Saturday, you'd find people strewn all over the streets. Drunken binges. You know, there's only one little place where they sell liquor today. Huh? The witchcraft centers have closed. All the witch doctors have been saved, or they've left town, or they've died. There's not one left in the city. At the Catholic Church, you know what happened? 3 years ago, the Catholic priest got so disgusted because people didn't turn up to Mass, he just closed the church and left town. And the priest only comes when he's invited and paid for baptism, for marriages, the small Catholic communities left. I could take you to many towns in Guatemala where nearly 100% of the people have been saved. What God has done amongst the Kachikil Indians and the Quiché Indians is just amazing. See, deliverance will destroy the kingdom of Satan in order to establish the kingdom of God. People are going around trying to establish the kingdom of God without first, what? Destroying the kingdom of Satan. The Bible says, if you want to enter the strong man's house to what? To spoil him, to strip him of his jewels, or of his weapons, or of his victims, what are you first supposed to do? Bind him, you've got to enter spiritual warfare. And then your ministry, your gospel ministry will be effective. People will be saved, people will be healed, people will be delivered. But you've confronted the enemy. Amen? And that's what we have had to do in Guatemala. And it's a high, high price to pay. Now, once again, I'm not trying to be humble. We are not, how would you say, responsible for what has happened. It just so happens that God, in His mercy, has permitted us to be there at this time in history. We've been in the right place, doing the right thing, and we've seen these results. It works, brethren. It works. But see, deliverance is not just casting out a few little demons, like I said at first. It has eternal implications. It has universal implications. Now, we've got some people in Latin America that are into that spiritual warfare network that have been climbing volcanoes, and they go up there and rebuke devils up on top of the volcanoes. In fact, a group of them went to Nepal a year and a half ago. They spent close to $1 million to go there and climb the Everest Mountain. They were going up there because they said that's the seat of Satan. I don't know where they got that, because the Bible says the seat of Satan was in the western part of what today is called Turkey. You know, amongst the seven churches of Asia, it talks about the church of Thyatira or Pergamos, where the seat of Satan is. But they claim that the Mount Everest was where Satan has established his seat. So they were going to climb up. They never got up on the top. In fact, I don't think they climbed halfway up. They spent $1 million in the attempt. Do you think I have to go to the Everest to rebuke Satan? I can rebuke him from here, anywhere in the earth, world, and anywhere in the universe. There's no limitations. I mean, in the spiritual world, there are no distances and there are no time elements. Amen? We can bind Satan here, we can rebuke Satan here, and the benefits can be felt anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Amen? But brethren, we need to engage in aggressive warfare against Satan. You know, one thing I've discovered as I travel over the continent, that Satan rests in human bodies, that the principalities and powers that are in the heavenlies rest in human bodies. I think the Gadarean was the embodiment of the ruling prince of that area, of Gadara. That's what I believe. It was legion. And once that man was delivered, the whole area was open to the gospel. Jesus had to leave. He was forced out. He was commanded out of there. That's one of the prices that he had to pay. But he left the testimony. He left this man to bear witness to what God had done. And I'm sure he had an influx of souls, an ingathering of souls as they'd never seen before. And I found as I travel that certain demons seek human bodies. And if you are on your feet, on your toes, you'll confront them sooner or later. I've confronted many ruling spirits of many different parts in human bodies. And once they're defeated, you crack open the door to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in that entire family or community or nation. Don't you know that Jesus said, go and disciple what? Just people? He said nations. He didn't say go and win some disciples in every nation. He said go and disciple the entire nation. And God's interested in nations. But you're not going to win a nation to Christ with the normal evangelistic methods, like the four spiritual laws or whatever it is. That's not going to do the job. It's going to take warfare in the spirit. That includes an aggressive stance in relation to deliverance and healing. Amen? Now, I know this is not new for you, but I'll tell you, brethren, there's much we need to learn, and there's much we need to implement of what we already know. Amen? And God didn't bring you to this conference just to listen to the same things over and over and over again. You're here by divine appointment, and God's going to teach you some new things. I'm sure the other speakers are prepared to deliver God's word to us, to me included. Amen? We need to learn so that we can go back and be engaged in real, determined, persistent spiritual warfare so that our families, our communities can be won to Christ. Amen? The reward is seeing God's kingdom established on earth. Total families and total communities changed by the mighty power of Jesus Christ. Deliverance will lead to revival, and revival will lead to harvest, a great harvest of souls before Jesus comes. That's why Jesus said, this gospel kingdom, which includes deliverance, in which deliverance plays an important role, shall be preached in all the world as witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. And I believe that by preaching this gospel and by ministering this gospel, the gospel kingdom of God, we're going to hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to hasten it. And I believe it's time, brethren, that we recommitted ourselves to the task. Some of you have been in deliverance off and on. not really dedicated to the ministry. Brother, just look around you. Just look around you. The thousands of people need help. I go to a church, and I go to many churches, many denominations, and I stand behind the pulpit, and I see all these people demonized out there. How many people do you think in a church with 100 members, how many do you think need deliverance? One or two? Most of them. If not all of them. I tell Christians everywhere, go through deliverance at least once. You'll be surprised. It might be the beginning of several sessions of deliverance. Because when you start praying for somebody, you're opening a can of worms. Huh? I believe every Christian needs deliverance of some sort or another. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get it. There'll be ministry during these days. I don't know who's going to lead in the mass deliverance, but I think we should have at least one. Amen?
Amen.
You'll be preaching tomorrow night, won't you, John? Who preaches tomorrow night? Marty. Okay. Well, Marty, I suggest we have a mass deliverance tomorrow night. It is on your heart. Okay, go at it. Okay, now, just before we close tonight, and I know it's late, I think we need to pray for those that have been beaten down because of deliverance. I feel that there are people here that are hurt, that are being seriously affected by criticism and ostracism, and you've been virtually ready to give up. And I'm going to ask the ministers that are here that are in scheduled speech to come and stand here, please, with me. Come on, those that have been called to minister, and let's all stand right now, and we're going to have a prayer, but if you need help, if you feel that you need a restorative touch of the Holy Spirit upon your life, if you need healing for your body, and you need comfort for your soul, if you feel that you've been affected by all the negative attitude of people, you know, you've been hurt, and there's a little bit of resentment, or a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of anger as a result in your heart, I want you to come forward for ministry tonight. I don't think we have enough ministers up here. Why don't you come, Harlan, and stand over here too, will you? And Brother Bob Swank, will you come, please, with your wife? We need some more women here to help us minister. Carol, come on over. You come over here too. Brother Bud Unger, come and pray too. I think there's about 10 of us now here that we can minister. And I want you to be honest and come forward and stand before one of these men or women of God and just say, Brother, pray for me for this and that, whatever it might be. And they will. We're not going to have long prayers tonight, but we're just going to pray that God will pour out His Spirit and the balm of Gilead will come upon your soul and upon your mind, and that those bruises and those injuries you've been subjected to will be done away with, and that you can enjoy this conference and derive great benefit from this conference. So let's raise our hands and start to pray. And those that need help, need ministry, come forward. There's time and there's opportunity. And just stand before somebody. Come for help. God is our help in the time of need, no matter what the problem might be. No matter what the situation might be. Just come and let one of God's choice servants here tonight minister to your need. Yes, let's move forward. We can make up a line of two or three people or four and be ready for ministry. Don't stay back there. Come right up. Come right up right now. Because we're going to close it down and you'll be left out if you don't come forward. Yes, hallelujah. There's another brother here that's ready to help somebody. If you need help, come. Let the Holy Spirit meet your need. Don't be too proud. Don't be too self-confident. Just come and receive the spiritual help and comfort that you need. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Raise your hands and begin to pray for those that are here. And just begin to pray on their behalf. Intercede and ask God to meet them and ask God to bless them. Father, we thank you because we can come to you in any situation, no matter how desperate it might be, knowing that we're going to receive the help that we need. You've promised to impart grace and power to those that come in full assurance of faith. And we come tonight to ask you, Lord, that you will meet the needs of your people. You know, Lord, the situation that they've been through. You know, Lord, the condition of their home and the condition of their health. We know, Lord, you know, Lord, how the enemy has attacked. He's been ruthless in attacking your people. He's come down with great wrath, knowing that his time is short.
and he's wreaking havoc in the body of Christ. He's bringing injury into the life of many, many of your children, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, right now to stretch out your hand and touch with mighty power upon the lives of your people, that your healing touch might be upon them. Come and give them strength and comfort and courage to move forward in victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take authority over all the power of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command Satan to release his hold upon God's people, his children, his ministers, gathered here tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we command you, Satan, to take your filthy hands off of God's people, to come out with a rush, come out with a cry, to flee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. And we command you, out and out and out and out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go now. Go now. Loosen your hold upon God's people. Release them, release them, release them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We claim healing, we claim deliverance, we claim total restoration from all the ravages of Satan's dastardly work in the lives of God's people. Receive your help, receive your help. Yes, instantly receive it in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We believe you, we believe you, we trust you, Father. We believe that you're doing a great work in the lives of God's people here tonight. Your word says it, that whoever comes to you, you will never turn them away, not disappointed, not discouraged. You will meet our needs through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you lay hands on each other back there now in the name of Jesus. Pray for the person that is in front of you or beside you, preferably somebody that's not of your family. Pray for each other. The Bible says pray one for another. And minister, right there where you're standing, minister to somebody. You are also a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And minister, just pray God's blessing. Release God's blessing upon God's people tonight in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Minister, 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 as the Lord gives you utterance in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Don't only ask, receive the blessing. Yes, open your life to the Holy Spirit tonight, and He will meet your need. He will meet your need right now. Right now. Right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till the day after tomorrow. Tonight, you can receive everything you need for this life and for the life to come. For your own personal life, for your home life, for your ministry. God will do the work. God will do the work as He has promised in His Word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Gracious God. Gracious God. Do a work. Do a work as you know how to do it, Father. In your wisdom. In your power. Meet the needs of your people tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.